know about you, but it is hard for me to disengage to come down here to preach. I get so caught up in worship that, I don't know about you, I don't want to leave. Feeling God's presence is more important than anything else. And I believe the time is coming when, as much as I love the Word and bringing the Word, and the Word is important, that I think we're going to get so caught up there's going to be little Word. There may come a Word. Things are about to really shift and change. Hallelujah. But I do have a word this morning. Important word. We're nearing the 250th anniversary of our country on July 4th. And I have observed that, maybe you have, that our nation is at a crisis point. In fact, it's at a, if I were to say it, it's on trial. Okay? I don't know if you know, Canada has just passed the hate law where you cannot preach the gospel fully to in public or to anyone. If you start really preaching it aggressively, you can be thrown in jail. So that is heading this way. In fact, I don't think we've ever been more in a place of crisis than we are now, with Christianity in our own country getting attacked, and the schools and the children and every facet that's going on. So I believe that you are going to face, everyone here is going to face, at some time, you may be going through it right now, you may have gone through it, or it's coming to you. And that is the trial of your faith. Okay? The trial of your faith. This message is here to strengthen you or prepare you. Okay? So, I'm thankful for the country we live in. I'm thankful for what God is doing. But you have to recognize the signs of the times. And, you know, the American church is different than the church around the world, okay? We can get really apathetic, okay? We can really get complacent. We can really get lazy in our faith. And we can just think, oh, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to, you know, be wonderful. But that's the dangerous place to be. Like, people in other countries, they can lose their lives for becoming a Christian. They do. They can get cast out of their family and ostracized. They do. They can be beaten, imprisoned, and they do. So we in America don't really have it to that degree yet. But if that comes, and when it comes, you need to be prepared to stand strong. Amen? All right. So 1 Peter 1:7 says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there is a thing called the trial of your faith that everyone will encounter at some point in their Christian walk. Now, there is a purpose to going through the trial of your faith. So I'm going to bring that out and what the purpose is. And in 1 Peter 4:12, Peter says this, Beloved, think it not strange. That word strange in the King James means new or unheard of. So it's not something new or unheard of. It might be in the American church because I don't hear it preached that much. I'm not getting too many amens, but you don't hear about the trial of your faith or going through trials too much in the American church, okay? But Peter says, don't think it strange that don't think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing might be happening to you. So it's not a strange thing. It's not something new or unheard of, but it will come to you at one point or another. All right. So in Hebrews 11:36, now this is not a doom and gloom message, okay? I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. But you can't just preach part of the Bible. You've got to preach the whole word, amen? You got to preach the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? Those are the best spaghetti westerns I've ever seen, anyway. All right. So Hebrews 11:36 says this. Now, this is the faith chapter. If you read the whole chapter, okay? It talks about people who have gone through the trial of their faith and have come out the other side, okay? It says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, of bonds and imprisonments. So there's some people that have gone through some serious trials. In fact, I think that when God... All right, let me say this. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
All right. Number one, God is good. So God cannot give something that he's not. Okay? God doesn't put sickness on you to teach you something. Okay? God doesn't make you go through something that's going to destroy you. Okay? God is good and he has a plan and purpose for your life. So you have to discern when that trial comes what the source of it is. Okay? Because it's there to perfect and strengthen your faith. So in, okay, ready? I don't know why I have to preach some of these messages, bro. I have to, though. Jeez. Wouldn't be my first choice. All right. John 16:33. This is Jesus speaking to you, okay, and to me. These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Jesus said, in this life, in this world, Christian, you're going to have some trouble. Those ain't my words. I wish they were different. But Jesus says, in this earth, in this life, in this natural realm, you will have trouble. Okay? But he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome all kinds of trouble. Amen? All right, so Paul says this in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Antioch's not too far from here, right? Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much trouble, enter the kingdom of God. Okay? So here's the great apostle Paul. He's exhorting the church, and you think he'd be giving some great message of, oh man, this is going to be, you know, a bed of roses. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys are going to have a great time. And he says, no. we're going to have much trouble. And he had much trouble in his life. There's something about trouble, though, that produces something. That you can't get it produced any other way. There's something about tribulation that produces something that you cannot and will not get any other way. Paul goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 3, 3 and 4, all right. Paul goes on to say that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto you. For truly, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So I'm trying to be very practical this morning and real with you. Because we pray for revival. We pray for a move. We pray for an awakening. You know what comes with that? Trouble. Tribulation. Persecution. I said I'm here to help prepare you and strengthen you this morning. Okay? And I'm being totally serious. Because that is coming, but these things are coming with it. Okay? Jesus, or 1 John, John makes this powerful statement, and I know it's hard for us to comprehend this, right? John says this in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brothers, if the world hate you. Well, they're talking about me at work. Man, am I getting persecuted. Man, that boss is on my back all the time. I'm getting persecuted. Oh, that is light. That is light. It says, don't think it strange if the world hates you. I mean, really hates you. And you know what? Christian, you're really hated. You're hated by the kingdom of darkness. Okay? You're hated by religion. Okay? And unfortunately, you're hated by some people that just want nothing to do with God. So it's very real, okay? But the good news is this. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions or trials of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Somebody say amen. I don't go looking for trouble. I don't go looking for tribulation. And I certainly don't go looking for trials. But they will find you. And what are you going to do? Good boy, good boy. What you going to do? What you going to do when the trouble finds you? What are you going to do? You got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. I'm sure Brother Peter faces many troubles of many kinds around the world. But he lives prepared. And so we got to live prepared. Amen? All right. Here it is. You ready? Paul says this, Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, I mean, this guy is out of his mind. Listen to what he says. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations or troubles also. What? I haven't experienced that yet, Paul. But here's what it does. Knowing that tribulation works patience. Dude, if you live in America, you live in impatience every day. Every day, you live in impatience. We want it now. We want it yesterday. We want it 10 years ago. So we have to have patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. You know, if you don't go through nothing, you don't have nothing for someone. I said, if you don't go through nothing, you have nothing for someone. But whatever you've gone through, now you can give it away to someone who needs it. Amen? James says this in chapter 1, 3, and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, everybody say, the trying of your faith, works patience. See, this is the meat of the word, okay? This is what brings maturity in the body, okay? I'm all for, you know, having a good time and, you know, enjoying and doing stuff, but you've got to have some substance in your life. You've got to move at one time from milk to meat, okay? You got to come into that full stature of maturity of the Christ in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit is after. And you've got to be prepared. And the only way to be prepared is by God's word. Amen? The trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, complete, and entire, lacking nothing. Wow. How would you like to lack nothing? I would. In Christ, I'd like to be just like Jesus and lack nothing. How about you? Amen. So we're on that road right now. We're going in that direction. God is bringing us to that point. And he will fulfill what he started. He will. Just got to work with him. James goes on to say in chapter 5, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I don't know, I haven't met, but I'm sure there is people that have gone through testing and trials in this world, in this lifetime, like Job has. I don't think anybody that I know of yet that I've met has gone through it like Job, other than Jesus himself. How many have read the book of Job? If you haven't read it, maybe you should, because you would get a very clear perspective of a man tried by his faith and what was on the other side when he came out. This man lost, he was the richest man in the East. Now, they say Job is the oldest book in the Bible, okay? So he doesn't have the revelation of God like even the Old Testament, right? Let alone the New Testament. So he's in a class all by himself. So in one day, he loses all his children. He loses his whole business, okay? All his cattle, all his mules, all his sheep. And then he loses his health. In one day, all gone, taken from him. And yet, in all of that, the Bible refers to Job's patience through that trial of his faith. It's pretty awesome. Now, what was that purpose that Job, this is what was happening to Job. God was trying to bring him to a certain place in his understanding of who God was. And Job said this, and I don't think I have it in my notes. Dang. Oh, wait, I do. Okay. Now, this is a word for someone or for many today, right now, okay? This is what Job says. He's in the midst of this trial, and this is what's going on with him. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." So, let alone what Job has just gone through, now his emotions, he is having an emotional breakdown because he can't feel God. We just heard this morning that we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. But what do you do when you've lost everything and now you've lost the sense of the presence of God? How many have been there before? So Job is in this place. He's lost everything, and now he's lost the presence of God. He can't feel God. He feels God's forsaken him. But listen to what he says. "But he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Wow. How was Job able to say that? Because he had God's word deep in his heart. Hallelujah. God goes on to say in Isaiah 13:12, "I will make a man or a woman more precious than fine gold." That is what God is after in the trial of your faith. He is after fine gold, more than fine gold. He's going to take you through. He's going to bring you out, and when you come forth, you'll come forth as gold, above gold. Hallelujah. Even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. That's what the trial of your faith is going to produce. And you cannot get that gold any other way. Do you know how a refiner knows when the gold is finally pure? Some of you know that, right? So he's got to heat it up multiple times, right? And then the dross, or dirt rises to the surface. So he's got to do it again and again and again until in that surface he can look down at the bottom of the pot and see his own reflection. Then he knows it's pure. That's what God is after. God doesn't want to see my reflection. He wants to see his reflection. And the only way to get it is through fire. Why are things happening around the world and miracles and signs and wonders and all these awesome things you read about happening around the world? Because they go through fire. Hallelujah. And they come out like gold. Church, I'm going to tell you, we want revival and awakening and breakout, but when that fire comes, you got to be ready for that fire. Hallelujah. You know the glory like we just read? You know what's under the glory? You know, we talk about the cloud of glory and God's glory. You know what's under the glory? Is fire. What comes from fire? A cloud. We want that glory, but we don't realize that under that glory is fire. Okay? And the only way to have that glory or operate in that glory is to have that trial of fire work out all the impurities of our life. Okay? So when you're praying, just keep that in mind, okay? Because you should want that. You should want whatever God needs to do to get his glory. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to Book of Daniel. I'm going to read a little bit here. I'm going to give you some examples of how people went through the trial, like Job, of fire, and they came out on the other side. The trial of their faith brought them out on the other side. Okay? So I'm going to start with verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them. Now, a little bit of history background. Nebuchadnezzar, the children of Israel are in Babylon. They're under foreign occupation. King Nebuchadnezzar is a pagan king. And one day he decides to make this graven image of gold. And everybody has to bow down and worship that image. And if they don't, they get a trial by fire in the furnace. Okay? The only problem is the three Hebrew boys know the Ten Commandments. And God says, you shall not have any other gods before me or bow down to any graven image. Okay? So one day, they're out there, and everybody's bowing down except the three Hebrew boys. And so they bring him to the, they bring them to the king, and this is the story now, what's happening before the king. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the molten image which I have set up? Now I'm going to give you another chance. If you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Beloved, do not think it strange when a fiery trial comes into your life. Okay? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, this is not New Testament. Okay? They don't know anything about the Messiah. These are Old Testament guys. Okay? But listen to their response. I love this response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, listen, we're going to tell you what we think, king. You don't do that to a king unless you've got a bigger king. Okay? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, they don't know they're going to be delivered or not. They just know their God. They just know his word, right? They know that the trial of their faith has arrived. And it's a fiery trial. Okay? But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his countenance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was ticked off. Who stands up to the king like that? Right? Nobody does. Unless you've got a bigger king. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was to be heated. So now he says, okay, heat that furnace up 7 times hotter. That's pretty hot. Okay? And he commands the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, so they had coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments. They were fully dressed like a Wisconsin winter. Going into a furnace that was 7 times hotter than normal. And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men, his mighty men, that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It slew the king's men, these mighty soldiers, right away. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Now, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste off his throne and said unto his counselors, "Hey, dudes, didn't we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" Dude. They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." All right. So, they're in the trial of their faith. All right? They're being persecuted. It's a fiery trial. They get thrown into the furnace that's 7 times hotter. And there's someone else in the furnace with them. Now, some other versions will say the fourth is like one of the sons of the gods, plural. Okay? King James says, like the Son of God. Now, it really doesn't matter which version is correct. I think I like to look at it as Jesus. All right? But it could be an angel from the Lord. Okay? But my question is this. Why would Nebuchadnezzar command the furnace to be 7 times hotter than normal? Why not twice as hot? Why not 5 times as hot? Or why not 10 times as hot? You'd like to know why? Go to Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Okay? That's why it had to be heated 7 times hotter, because God's word had to be tested in their lives. Right? So God's word will be tested in your life. Okay? Now, this is so good. This is just too good. I just don't want to know why God does things in my life or his word. I want to know how he does it. He's not going to strike me down for wanting to know, "Hey, my business? You want to know my business?" Yeah, I want to know your business, God, because I'm your son, right? I'm in your family business. I want to know the business. Okay, son, then know it. We're much too timid with God for asking things. It says to boldly approach the throne of grace in the time of need, not cowering. Oh, you know, God, I don't know if I should ask you this. You know, I don't even know if I'm worthy. No, God, I want to know why you do this. I don't know. I'm just want to know, right? It says in Psalms that the children of Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. I don't know why God does the things he does. Okay? All right, you want to know too? I wanted to know how the furnace didn't consume the three Hebrews in there with the fourth man. I want to know specifically why it didn't consume them with the fourth man. You might think, well, it's God's presence, yeah? It's God's power, yeah? But how in his presence and power did he preserve them? You want to know? Yeah, you want to really know? All right. Watch this. You ready? Go to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. 3 through 5. Okay? And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Now here it is. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around her, and will be the glory in the midst of her. So how did God preserve them in the fiery furnace? You've heard that term, you got to fight fire with fire. Here it is. I will be myself a wall of fire round about them. So, the fire that is around you is greater than the fire that tries to consume you. I said the fire that's around you is greater than the fire that tries to consume you. Hallelujah. That's how you go through the trial of your faith victorious. All right. Now I want to talk about Jesus' trial of his faith in the garden. Okay? Now remember, the fire that's around you is greater than the fire that tries to consume you. Okay? But there's something coming better than that. Mark 14. We're going to read a couple of the same passages with different perspectives here. Mark. This is Jesus in the garden. 14:35 and 36. And Jesus went forward a little. See, all you got to do is go forward a little. You just got to move a little bit, a step at a time in your trial. Just keep moving. Just keep speaking the word. I don't feel God. Just keep speaking the word. Well, I don't sense God. Just keep speaking the word. Well, this ain't getting any better. It's getting worse. Just keep speaking the word. I don't know if I can do it. Just keep speaking the word. Hallelujah. It's not on you. It's on the fourth man. Hallelujah. It's on the fourth man. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. Now, I want you to hear this. This is Jesus, the Son of God, okay? But you got to remember that he did everything as a man, not as God on the earth. Okay? So you can do everything as a man or a woman of God on the earth. Now, listen to what he says here. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Right? All things are possible for God. Nothing is impossible with God. He says this to his father, take this cup from me. This is Jesus. He's going through it. Just like you've gone through it, or are going through it, or are going to go through it. I'm telling you, I'm speaking this word to strengthen and help you in that trial of your faith. That's what this purpose is of this word. So Jesus is going through it, and he asks his Father, all things are possible. He says, take this cup from me. Wow. I don't want to go through with it. I don't want to do it, Father. It's too much. It's too much of a price to pay. His humanity, it's just crying out. And you know what? In the garden, he says, God, why have you forsaken me? So he's going through it. He don't feel God. He don't sense God. There's nothing. Except he's the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. And then something shifts. And Mark doesn't put it in here, but something shifts. And all of a sudden, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You want to know what shifted? Want to know what shifted? Let's find out. Let's go to Luke 22. Now, Luke, I like Luke. He's the most detailed gospel writer because he's a physician anyway. So doctors are detailed. All right, so he don't miss a thing. Now, listen. Luke 22, 41 through 43. This is the same example, the same word, but from a different perspective. And he was withdrawn from them, the disciples, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Okay, remember we just read that in Mark? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then Mark leaves it off. Look what comes next. And there appeared an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Wow. What does the angel represent? Look at this. Hebrews 1:7. Now, Jesus had not been crucified or resurrected yet. Okay, so the Spirit had not been poured out yet. All right? So Jesus is basically, even though he's bringing in the New Testament, he's not operating like we're going to operate when the Spirit's poured out. Because now it's going to be not just one man, it's going to be several people all over the world. He said you'll do greater things in number, okay? Now watch this. God sends an angel. Who did God send in the fiery furnace? Let's just say in fact, I forgot to say this, like in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar, when they come out, says, blessed be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for the Lord has sent his angels to deliver him, his angel. So God sends an angel, which is, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. The fire that was around Jesus in the garden was greater than the fire trying to consume him. I don't think you heard me. I said the fire that was in the garden around Jesus that the Father sent was greater than the fire that was trying to stop him from the cross. Hallelujah. Now, are you ready for the grand finale? I heard one person say, yes. Are you ready for the grand finale? Yes. Everybody wants a grand finale. The fireworks are great, but you get bored after a while. Ooh, yeah, we've seen that one three firecrackers ago. You want the grand finale, right, bro?
Right.
Right. All right. Here it is. John 14. This is after the resurrection. Well, this is what Jesus is going to say is going to happen after the resurrection. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells around you and shall be in you. You may not be able to sense the fire around you in your trial of your faith, but there is a fire now that is within you. And greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. So not only is the fire around you, the fire is now inside of you. Hallelujah. And that fire will overcome any trial by fire. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's what it means to go through the trial of your faith. There is a fire inside of you. Hallelujah. This little light of mine, it may be a little light, but you keep fueling it with the Word of God, and it'll turn into a raging inferno. Hallelujah. Would you stand this morning? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to transition this morning into communion. I hope you can remember this word. Okay? Because it's God's word. And it's going to take you through whatever trials, trouble, tribulation you're going to go through in your life or have been through. And according to God's word, it says many are the troubles of the righteous. So it's not a one-time deal, okay? The more you press in to God, the more you will be pressed, okay? And if you remember that the fire is not only around you, but within you, it will bring you to the point of that pure gold that God is after. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. Sorry. The church is going to go through fire. Hallelujah. It's going to go through fire. But it's going to come out on the other side as pure gold. Amen?